This is Conquering Columbus.
Hey everybody, it's Andy here to give you a quick preview on this episode of Conquering Columbus. On today's show, Mike is talking with Colin Castor and Jen Burton, co-founders of Seventh Son Brewing. It's a great conversation with a focus on maintaining your culture, building a good business, and avoiding getting out over your skis. Early on in the show, Mike asked Colin and Jen about the early days of Seventh Son and how they were able to get things started. Here's what they had to say.
We went to people that trusted us in that way, and we wouldn't go to someone that was wishy-washy. And we didn't really have to go beyond the second generation of people we were going to ask to help us.
I think we only had two people who said that it wasn't the right time.
Yeah.
Right. Sounds fun, but it's not the right time. But other than that, it was all relatively small, but enough that it added up. Friends and family, investors, it was great.
Later, they spoke about some of the big initiatives they were working on, and Jen spoke about an all-women's craft beer summit coming soon.
Well, I just had a Zoom earlier today, which I'm super stoked about. It's going to be an all-women's craft beer summit in Ohio.
Okay.
So all Ohio brewed, sold, owned beer. It's going to be sometime in April. Actually, it's going to be April 7th at Seventh Son. We just decided on a date. And it's going to be things that women have had a heavy influence on, from Yellow Springs and Seventh Son and a bunch of breweries I've never even heard of, which is really exciting.
They wrapped up the show with some advice for our listeners on making the most out of your career.
I think just stay true to what you love and do something that you think the world needs, but that you also really enjoy doing. Like, that's how you're going to get bang for your buck. And just being a creative person that can change gears and think on your feet and never say never. And also, just don't turn down options and ideas and opportunities. Like, I think that just always be open-minded to that stuff.
This is a great interview. And as always, we hope you enjoy it. Thanks so much for tuning in. And let's get on with the show.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to another episode of the Conquering Columbus podcast. This is your co-host, Mike, here, flying solo yet again today. Josh is out of the office, so unfortunately, you guys are going to be stuck with me. But luckily, we've got a couple of special guests here joining us today, so more than our usual one. Joining us on the show here on Conquering Columbus today, we have Colin Castor and Jen Burton from Seventh Son. And Seventh Son is celebrating their 10-year anniversary this year. And since their inception, they've grown to become a staple of the Columbus brewing community. So we're really excited to have Jen and Colin on today to talk about how Seventh Son got started, how things have changed in the past 10 years, and where they're heading from here. Welcome to Conquering Columbus, both of you.
Thank you.
Thanks for having us.
Yeah, really excited. So one of the first places we always just start is like, hey, can you give yourselves a quick little introduction and just a little bit about yourself and your background?
Yeah, Colin, you start.
Well, thanks, Jen. My name's Colin Castor. I got my start in the beer business really from selling beers on Grateful Dead tour in the 90s.
Grateful Dead tour?
But
you look a little young to be a Grateful Dead guy.
That's not true, actually. So for some reason, my parents let me go on Dead tours when I was in high school in the summertime, and I may have had a fake ID from an older brother. And that got me into craft
allegedly
beer. Deadheads were very much ahead of the curve in terms of the beer that they like and everything. So I kind of skipped over that Busch Light, Natural Light phase of my life and went straight for Sierra Nevada Pale and Sam Adams and all the good stuff that was around back then.
Yeah.
And I went to school for English. So I ended up in the restaurant business like most other English majors. And that kind of transitioned into wanting to be more on the brewery side. And we got an idea and got into Seventh Son. I guess that would be my
very
background.
Nice. For We've got
part.
A ton of mid-20s people Googling the Grateful Dead right now. So interestingly enough, you said you're an English major, right?
Yeah.
I went to school as a journalism major, then switched to biology, and now I'm in business. So it feels like English journalism, that type of thing. It's like, it's what you do when you don't know what you want to do. Okay, Jen.
Well, I majored in art. So you have to get a job at a restaurant to do that as well. I was born in Columbus. I met Colin in eighth grade. I met our other business partner, Travis, in fifth grade. We were the two tallest people in the room, so we were paired up for square dancing and gym. I basically worked in beer-centric bars and wine and cocktail-heavy bars from the age of 21. I went to Columbus College of Art and Design. I moved away to San Francisco for a couple of years and managed a social enterprise nonprofit to help people find jobs. Came back to Columbus, worked that sort of vocational rehabilitation career for 3 years. And then Colin Travis told me they were opening a brewery. And I was like, well, you obviously need my help. Mm-hmm. So I just elbowed my way in. I remember it well. It was at Bodega one night. And then we had a meeting the following Sunday. And it was kind of like, this is what we're going to do. And we were all very full on in, which was cool. We were like, we're doing this.
So this would have been like 2013.
This was 2008.
Yeah. I was going to say, this is back in 2008 or 9. Then we found a space in 2010.
Mm-hmm. We paid out of pocket for two years.
We paid rent on it out of pocket while we were figuring out how to get an SBA loan. And we kind of ironed things out with some friends and family investors and all of those things.
Yep.
Started the construction process, which was twice as long and a little bit more than it was supposed to be. And that got all finished up. And we were making our own beer by April of 2013.
Okay. So launch the beer is 10 years, but you guys have been working on this since 2008, 2009.
Yeah.
Common time that we hear a lot on this podcast, by the way, when we talk to entrepreneurs is like 2008, 2009, something happened then. it's funny, right? When you have those difficult periods, it's when a lot of these ideas start to germinate. And what I found about entrepreneurs, it's like, if I can't find something I want to do, I'm just going to do it.
Time to get creative.
Yeah. And so I'm curious, you know, what was that process like of getting things off the ground? You mentioned friends and family investors, that sort of thing. Like, how do you go and pitch, hey, we want to make beer?
Well, I think honestly, a lot of them knew Colin's background at Bodega for 8 years plus or whatever. I think you opened in 2005.
One of the first craft beer, 50 tap craft beer bars in the city.
So. And they knew his work ethic, my work ethic, and just our creative nature and sort of, I don't know, our goals and what, and if we believe in something, we're truly deciding to do this. We must believe in it that much. And I think that we went to people that trusted us in that way. And we wouldn't go to someone that was wishy-washy. And we didn't really have to go beyond the second generation of people we were going to ask to help us.
I think we only had two people who said that it wasn't the right time. Yeah. Right. Sounds fun, but it's not the right time. But other than that, it was all relatively small, but enough that it added up. Friends and family, investors, it was great.
Okay. And so what were the early hiccups then? Because I don't know many businesses that have started just perfect out the gates and nothing ever becomes a problem.
I mean, geez, the funding itself, this was very much a bootstrapped thing. Mm-hmm. And what we started for X amount, we could have probably done for 50% more was probably the right way to do it. We ended up putting that money back into the business almost immediately. We didn't take any money from the business for, I think,
3 years.
Yeah. First few years at all.
We all had other jobs. So we were just like,
put it back in and a lot of that was just being a little bit undercapitalized and naive at the start about craft beer's fun and it's really cool, but it's also like a manufacturing business with really expensive equipment and a lot of things that we weren't super familiar with in that way.
Yeah. And so I'm curious about the timing of all this because craft beer obviously today has a huge presence and it makes up a much larger portion of the beer market than it has in the past. But was this around the time when it was just starting to take off or was it still kind of a niche product? And
it was the time for Ohio to be taking off.
Right. That was the thing I was thinking about.
I feel like we caught the tail end of the very first wave. Yeah. We were like in the middle or end of the very
first wave. From about 08 to about 12 or 13, there was a kind of meteoric rise, like 20% a year, 20% a year, like over and over. Then from there, it's kind of tapered down. And even now, like the latest numbers are for the first time that the Brewers Association has measured, there's actually a decline this year to date, which is kind of interesting to see. So it seems like it's finally kind of after 40 plus years, almost 50 years, like craft beer has kind of matured. But to give you an idea, when I went to my first craft brewers conference, there was 2,500 breweries in the country and there was 50 breweries in the state of Ohio. Mm-hmm. There's now over 400 breweries in the state of Ohio and there's now 9,500 breweries in the country. So it is in the space of 10 years. That is a pretty drastic shift.
Absolutely. I mean, I can't imagine like, you know, a lot of people who are like, well, I want to start a business. A lot of people like making beer, but maybe don't actually have the know-how, let's say. Let's be nice and I'll say they don't have the know-how, but really, right? Like, you see
can't
a lot
be
of,
a janitor and an HR rep and
let alone the beer itself.
A banker.
Well, it's so much stuff. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. We get things off the ground, right? Things get going. And I'm curious if there was kind of a point where, you know, you mentioned stopped, paying into it and actually taking on some revenue. Was there a point at which, you know, that turning point where, hey, this might actually work?
You know, we have those every 2 to 3 years.
Right.
It's like, we got to tighten up. We can spend a little money. We got to tighten up. It's like any organic forming business. Like if you're at the mercy of what people want and mm-hmm. what they are desiring, like it's not like we're making underwear that
right.
people need. It's like beer.
Who says? I'm kidding.
Commando. Amen. But, you know, it's like it's something that's a choice. So that is always in fluctuation.
Mm-hmm.
And often people say, well, you must be doing fine when people are depressed and happy. I'm like, well, kind of. But it's like, you know, one of those things.
That's
like,
a sad comment. Well, I don't like that comment.
Alcohol is recession proof, they yeah, say. Right. But when there's 35 alcohol establishments mm-hmm. similar to yours, like it gets weird. And it's like it is oversaturation. And it's like, what is going to happen with that? Because, you know.
Yeah. Well, so in the past, we've talked with the folks over at North High, and I'm sure I'm forgetting one of the other breweries we talked to. But like, you know, we've talked in the past with some of the other breweries in Columbus as well. And, you know, it's always been, hey, the Columbus brewing community, very, very tight knit, mm-hmm. very close together. Has that changed at all with some of the more like?
We're still pretty, I mean, I would say we're still pretty tight and we're all definitely friendly.
Mm-hmm.
We might not know each other as well as we used to.
Sure.
Because it used to be 30 people at a convention versus 180.
Yeah, right. we were, depending how you count it, we were the 7th or 8th brewery mm-hmm. in Columbus, and mm-hmm. now there's 50 plus.
Yep.
So there's people who I like a lot, and there's even new people coming onto the scene now, and you try and reach out to them and like, hey, we should grab a beer sometime, but mm-hmm. It's not always that easy.
Yeah. Yeah, I can imagine, right? Anytime you, like, so scarcity leads to those problems, mm-hmm. right? So with the market declining, I would imagine things get a little more competitive. But your guys' location, right, in a really good spot there on 4th. But it's changed over time, hasn't it? Like, you guys have really put a lot of work into that location, it seems.
Oh,
like.
Sure.
It was the St. James and Exile and then us.
Mm-hmm.
And it was like, people were like, what the hell are you doing going over there? And
yeah.
we're like, believe us. There's nowhere to go on High Street.
Yep.
There's actually parking over here on 4th.
Yes, there is.
Let's go
there.
There's
not anymore.
No, but that's gone. Don't tell everyone. There's actually way more parking than people think, but it's just, yeah, it's one of those things.
I mean, the neighborhood, I think this year we'll have another almost 1,000 apartments come online. Like, it's really just kind of exploded around us.
Mm-hmm.
We thought it was going to work. We thought it was going to be great. That's why we chose the spot. We initially had that one building, and then we even talked the guy who had some land behind us into mm-hmm. selling us the land, and mm-hmm. we're able to build an expansion, and we really believe in our spot there, but we didn't know it was going to be that good.
Right.
Like, we thought it would be fine. We thought it would be a nice place, but we didn't know it was going to be a condo a minute.
Yeah. Yeah. And it's full every time I go there. So, mm-hmm.
no, it's nice.
Yeah. You know, you guys, like, clearly you're doing something right. I'm curious, you know, going back over time, right? Like, how has your clientele changed over time? Cause I got to imagine, right? Like, students probably didn't have a lot in their pockets for craft beer in 2010.
I would say our clientele has not changed at all. We have the old beer nerd, mm-hmm. the young hipster dudes, the
neighborhood family,
the neighborhood fams. They've just become more plentiful and like their numbers.
Right.
Honestly, I don't think it's changed.
Growth of
like,
Columbus.
I think we have always been a place where
we used to kind of, it used to be like, oh, that's kind of hipstery or whatever.
But then you look at it at happy hour and it's all geezers and like people chilling.
The guy who mows our lawn, who's like 50 something, he's been there.
And like, you know, I don't even do hipsters. Can hipsters really exist anymore?
I don't even know if people use that term.
Because like, I feel like hipster was like a term for people who weren't trying to be like other people. But like, now there's so many.
In the 60s, hipster was a cool, actual, legitimate term. Now it just means like someone you don't like that's cooler than you. Right? right?
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
Can we be blunt?
Hey, they've got better style and they're little, you know, they look like
they
know who they are.
They don't have to worry about a job.
Right. Yeah.
They're an influencer.
Right. Exactly.
No, but honestly, Seven Sun, we've always prided ourselves on being super family friendly. We're a late night spot for like couples. Mm-hmm. It's kind of awesome. Like, beer nerds would come there. Like, we have so many people come there by themselves,
right?
Which to me is the biggest compliment, because if someone comes to the bar by themselves, whether they're a 25-year-old woman or a 50-year-old man, or like, they know that they're going to feel welcome there, mm-hmm. and they're going to have conversation, and they're going to do things you want to do at a bar that you don't necessarily have to take a friend, which is the ultimate flattery. So I think that's great.
And I think the older we've gotten, we've realized that, and it's always been a strength of ours, but we're kind of leaning into it more now, is like, we're not just a brewery. Like, we're actually a hospitality bar. Business. Yeah. We're a neighborhood bar. Yeah. We're as much bar, restaurant, hospitality as anything else out there, even if we don't necessarily make our own food. But that's such a key part of the business, is just making people feel welcome and making a
knowing your regulars. Nice, like, our regulars are a huge. We probably have more regulars than a lot of spots, I would guess. Monday through Thursday, especially.
Hey, everybody. Mike here. We're going to take a quick break to talk about one of our sponsors, One Columbus. And we are very excited to partner with One Columbus. They really, really share the same vision as us here at the Conquering Columbus podcast, which is really building up the Columbus region to be one of the most prosperous regions in the United States. And One Columbus serves as the business location resource for companies across Central Ohio and around the world as those companies grow, innovate, and compete within the global economy. And they help us lead a regional growth strategy that develops and attracts the world's most competitive companies, grows a highly adaptive workforce, and prepares our communities for the future, inspiring innovation across the board. Their mission really is just ensuring the Columbus region is a vibrant place to build businesses and careers. So again, we really appreciate all of their support. You want to learn more about them, go check out their website, columbusregion.com. That's columbusregion.com. Thanks so much for tuning in. We'll be right back into the episode. Yeah, I'm curious, especially when you're bringing in outside food with like food trucks and things like that, right? Obviously, right? Like, you're like, hey, that's not my food truck. But you also have to kind of maintain the quality because expect, like, hey, I come in, I want to have good food. Like, how do you balance that with trying new
places? The food
trucks
we have now are, Street Time's been there 8 years. Mm-hmm. Dos Hermanos has been there 9.
Love Dos Hermanos, by the
way. So good. Elevated is about a year and a half old, but
great
all of these trucks stay
them.
And they get that they're like, okay, this is a partnership, you know? Because we've had our food trucks that come and go, and it's got
to
be a partnership.
We've had
it's
to actually kind of say, like, you can't run out of food at 8 o'clock on a cold night.
And if you
night.
Do that,
like,
every day, it's
Yeah.
Because people come for that, they leave. And and if there's no truck, maybe they won't stay for a beer, which is.
Right. I mean, because that's a key part, right? Like, hey, I need some food with my beer. Otherwise, I'm going to be stumbling out the door in, you know, an hour or two.
Getting the Taco Bell on Hudson.
Right. Yeah. Nobody wants that. Nobody wants that. But that's an interesting concept, right? Like, balancing that, making sure we've got a good variation, but also the quality.
Yeah.
Curious today, what's the team look like at Seven Sun?
The team is a bunch of badass mother effers.
we have
a lot
really
of independent spirits, artistic folks, strong, hard workers. They understand we're in a weird time in the world, and business is always changing, and they are very good at adapting.
We have an interesting thing where I think about half of our staff has been with us like three plus 7 to 8 years.
And a lot of them are in their 30s, which is wild.
For the restaurant business, at least.
For the front of the house.
And then we have a handful of younger folks too on the front of the house.
And
side.
I just get a summer job and blah, blah, blah.
Side jobs and some bar backs who are younger. But it's
what's
a really
great,
nice
we career. Offer an IRA for like anybody. You can work one shift a week and get PTO and an IRA investment, which we match, which we're very proud of.
Yeah.
We offer insurance to anybody who works 25 hours plus a week consistently.
We try to be nice employers.
Yeah.
That's a good spot.
We try to retain people like we would at any professional business to show them that being a server is very professional. It's not something to look down on at all. It's a great, great job.
And in fact, I know servers who do really, really well, right, over the long term because they find their niche, right? Like, if you really dedicate yourself to being good at something, there's going to be people in demand for your services. But I like that kind of aspect, right? And what I'm curious about now is kind of like, what are the initiatives you're both excited about? What are the things you guys are working on?
Well, I just had a Zoom earlier today, which I'm super stoked about. It's going to be an all women's craft beer summit in Ohio.
Okay.
So all Ohio brewed, sold, owned beer. It's going to be sometime in April. Actually, it's going to be April 7th. It's Seven Sun. We just decided on a date. And it's going to be things that women have had a heavy influence on, from Yellow Springs and Seventh Sun and a bunch of breweries I've never even heard of.
Yeah.
Which is really exciting.
That is exciting.
National Women's Day is March 8th. And a lot of people brew a women's beer, like a Pink Boots Society.
That's cool.
Beer that day. And then, we're going to have the first ever Ladies Summit, which is really rad.
Yeah.
We're going to try and do a fall fest this year, which will include a can corn maze.
Beer can
corn maze.
We were going for the Guinness World certification of the largest beer can corn maze in the world, which we could have done, but it's not
there isn't
cheap
one.
Yeah. to get the Guinness yeah, certification.
Oh.
So we're going to go ahead and say it's the
unofficial
largest
well,
beer can
so
corn
you
maze.
Can
we can with
in,
the can maze.
In personal, like you don't need the authentication with an authenticator there. This is going to be a long story, but bear with me. So Conquering Columbus, Josh is a marathon runner.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Josh Gandy?
Josh Witt, the guy in Conquering Columbus. And he was like looking into Guinness World Records and he's like, we should do the fastest world record in a 3-person costume marathon, right? And I was training for it. And it turns out like I'm just not built for marathon. So it got downgraded to the fastest 2-person costume marathon because I'm like, I can't. I'm
but
never going to make this.
You can make up your own world record at this point.
I'm a short guy.
Right?
Like I don't have the long sprinting leg. Like I just, running's not for me. I'm very stocky. It's not my thing.
So is this like a potato sack? Like your
no.
legs
so we partnered. We partnered with Jenny's on it.
Okay.
And they were dressed up as a double scoop of ice cream.
Sure. There
you yeah.
go. Okay.
And Jenny's kind of paid for the whole thing.
Just connected in some way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So they were like PVC pipe.
Oh wow.
Type
yeah.
like.
Yeah.
And they didn't get it. Joe unfortunately got injured halfway through. Like he got it. You know, it's hard to run in a giant PVC pipe costume. Go figure.
No. It's not.
And but you didn't need the authenticator on hand as long as you could verify the time. Huh. So you might be able to get it verified if you just take like a big aerial screenshot of it, like get a drone,
yeah. drone
take
shot.
A screenshot yeah. of it, like map it out and you can get it verified. You just got to send it in. It's more complicated, but you can get it verified.
Yeah. Well, we'll have to try that. We'll have to look into
it. Yeah. But yeah, those are our goals, I think, for the fall. And
yeah. Beer Can Corn Maze, Women's Beer Summit.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So I'm curious about, I want to dig into the Women's Beer Summit a little bit here. And like the brewing industry,
mm-hmm.
right? Got to be pretty male dominated.
Used to be.
Yeah. So we're making progress there. I guess the question I have is, you know, what does that look like? How many women are getting involved in this? And
well, it's cool. It's honestly, at Seventh Son, it's been a lot of the dudes being like, what can we do to make this mm-hmm. more lady inclusive? It's been awesome. Like the brewers are very, very sensitive to their language,
mm-hmm.
how they approach situations. It's been a learning curve for sure.
Sure.
It is a male-dominated industry, but Seventh Son is a third owned by a woman. Mm-hmm. And I think a lot of people look up to myself as someone who signs their paychecks.
Sure.
And then we've always had a female sales rep. We've always had, mm-hmm. I mean, our marketing director is a woman. And I think that it's just sort of, we've just always been kind of the kiddos that are like a little bit ahead. And like, that's just how it is and should
sure.
be. Like, we don't have to fight some crazy chauvinistic environment in mm-hmm. our spot. Because it's never been that way. So thank goodness for that.
There's a lot of yeah. breweries that kind of have that ethos. Like yeah. they're naturally like kind of progressive.
Mm-hmm. Kind of the culture of craft
yeah.
beer.
Yeah, like,
and
way.
They don't have to beat their chest about being female, you know.
Sure.
It's just been more a matter of like, okay, we want women to be a part of things, but how do you actually make that happen? How do you actually make it approachable? How do you do those things? And there's been, to the National Brewers Association credit a little bit, and then definitely statewide, like there's been a lot of effort in the last few years and people thinking about like, beer's great for everyone. Beer's yep. supposed to be this level.
It's not that big a deal
of like
man or woman.
It's the everyman yeah. beverage.
Yeah.
It's
mm-hmm.
the, how can we really make it that way? Mm-hmm. Whether you're black, brown, women, LGBTQ, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So there's a lot of thought and a lot of effort.
It's
going
been
into
good.
That.
Yeah.
Yeah. And I think there's like this. So there's definitely a bias in terms of the beer you're supposed to like.
Right.
As a man or a woman. Like my wife, right? It took forever to get her to try IPAs. And then I was like, just try this one. It's a little citrusy. You'll like it. And then boom, as soon as you try that one, like, okay, on. And then like, what else you got for me?
And then you're right? drinking Moscato 24/7.
Hey, listen, you know, I mean, I can't lie. I like a good Moscato. What's wrong with that? But
hey, we're not judging.
Yeah, there's no judgment here.
Absolutely.
If you can't tell, we're having a beer now. I'm drinking a Humulus Nimbus, one of my favorite, actually, IPAs.
Thanks.
That's great.
Really good one. I order it all the time if it's available on draft.
One of the first beers that we started with.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, yeah. Hey, there's a reason it's been around a while. Mm-hmm. So moral of the story, you can like whatever drink you want and everybody likes beer.
Yeah,
right? Like,
exactly.
Come on, try 'em.
Amen.
So I suppose the natural transition here is, what's the future look like at Seventh Son? What are the long-term goals? Where do you see this going?
So I think that, and I think we're kind of in the same boat with a lot of different craft brewers that I've talked to in the last little while, everybody's still like, even though COVID's over, that's still kind of on everybody's mind and in everybody's pocketbook. And everybody's still thinking about those things a little bit. And there's been a lot of emphasis from everywhere on, like, you have your labor going up, you have your material costs going up, you have your freight going up. Like, how can we have, like, good old fashioned, like, efficient businesses that are stable and profitable and work? And I think for the next few years, like, we're doing a lot of fun things. We have an Airbnb next to Seven Sun that we're super excited about. Getaway opened in 21, which we're really excited about. Antiques continues to just kill it, and that neighborhood's growing. So we're really happy with that. But I think, like, all of us between Jen and Travis and I, and I've been guilty of it almost more than anyone, but I think all of us are like, hey, let's just be like stable and solid. And we have these three really cool businesses, and we have the Airbnbs that are a lot of fun, and let's make that work for a little while and make sure that everything's going well and we're treating our people well. And there's always opportunities. There's always stuff to do. But yeah, I think the emphasis is make what we have even better.
Right. I like that. There's an author I read a lot, Brandon Sanderson. It's fantasy books. We don't have to get into it, but the moral of the story is there's a quote in there that they talk about, like, when has a human ever looked around and said, hey, this is enough. Maybe I should sit down and focus on what I got, right? Like, humans, we're really bad at that.
Right, we are bad about that.
It is, and craft beer for a while has been about, like,
more.
How can we grow? How can we grow? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. There's this opportunity and that opportunity, and it might just be, hey, how can we just have fun and make great beer and enjoy what
you're making.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I guess the follow-up to that is kind of what do you see as the biggest challenges to maintaining those businesses? What do you think, like, as we think about Columbus and how we're changing and things that are going through, like, what could you see coming up that could interfere with that?
Cost of goods, cost of traveling, gas, things like that are day-to-day expenses that add up.
Just pressure and pressures on the economy that even if they're not directly hitting us, it makes people think about the dollars that they're spending going out. So kind of like any food and beverage business, just those regular pressures are what we worry about, I guess. Like, we're worried that gas is going to get back to $5 and people will be like, I don't know if I want to go out to happy hour or not. Mm-hmm. But in another sense, like, I wouldn't pick another city for this at all. And we're so lucky that Columbus, and I really feel this way a little bit, like, no matter how the economy goes nationally, like, we're a little bit insulated from it because of just the explosive growth and let alone the neighborhoods we've chosen. But, like, pretty much any direction you point in Columbus right now, it's like, that's growing and that's going in there and that's growing and that's going in there.
Yeah. Not looking forward to the traffic.
I think that's going to be a nightmare. We got to fix some roads
around here. Things are going to get really bad in like 10 years.
Light rail.
Actually,
161 light rail and a high street rail.
I just went to a really cool presentation about the COTA rapid transit system that they're proposing. Yep. And I think there's a lot of good stuff that could happen with that.
Oh gosh, what was her name? We had her on. She's the head of COTA, and I can't remember her name now. Oh no. Hold on. I'm not Googling. Ignore it.
That is not the sound of
fingers. COTA rules,
though.
When we opened, Seven Sun, I would take the bus downtown. It was great.
Joanna Pinkerton.
Yes.
Great.
Yes.
Yeah. And there's really good ideas about the two or three corridors they're starting with and future growth. And I think all of those things are really going to, and if the Rapid 5 Trent and some of the other things that can really make this like a city as good as any other. And I've been saying it for a while. There's no longer like Columbus is cool for Ohio. Like Columbus is cool for any city in the country.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Just had my, so we had baby shower this past weekend and my aunt.
Where'd you have it?
It's Cincinnati. My wife's from Cincinnati, so I headed down there. But my aunt and my cousin, Jen and Maria, they came in from town from New York City, and they were extremely impressed. We, took them to a couple places, had a lot of fun here, and, you know, not what they expected out of Ohio, right? Mm-hmm. And it's not just cool for Ohio, right? It was like, this is a great place, right? I think we got to stop saying that, right? Like, Columbus is the, you know, we're pretty, you know, legit.
We have some
for
Michelin star restaurants and some, there's some, it's gotten plenty of good stuff.
We're here.
James Beard.
Right? We're 15th largest city in the country.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know? Depending which stats you see, it goes between 11
and
15.
You can buy a house cheaper here than most of them.
There's a reason I didn't go back to San Diego. But I think that's a good place to transition to some of our last questions of the show. First one is, do you have any advice for our listeners? Now, give you both a little idea of who we're talking to here. Anybody between 25 and 75 in the Columbus, Ohio area, they're interested in what's going on in Columbus and, you know, excited to hear about businesses here in town.
I think just stay true to what you love and do something that you think the world needs, but that you also really enjoy doing. Like, that's how you're going to get bang for your buck. And just being a creative person that can change gears and think on your feet and never say never. And also, just don't turn down options and ideas and opportunities. Like, yeah. I think that just always be open-minded to that stuff, because mm-hmm. you never know who you're going to meet, what they're going to suggest for you, the connections you'll make.
Solid advice, Jen. Colin?
Thanks.
It's good advice, Jen.
Thanks, Colin.
I think I would say dig, especially now in Columbus, dig into Columbus. Mm-hmm. There's so much good food here. There's so much good art here. There's networks of professionals here. There's a business group for anything you can imagine. There's the biggest university in the country. Like, there's a wealth of resources and people who want people to succeed. So try and get connected to that in whatever way you can. And once you talk to enough people, those opportunities do tend to present themselves. But a lot of that's about getting out there and talking about things and meeting people and really digging into Columbus.
100%. So really solid. So that brings us to our last question of the show, centered around the theme here on Conquering Columbus, which is live uncomfortably. So without telling you too much why we chose that for a show about entrepreneurs, business leaders in Columbus, what do you think of when you hear the phrase? How does it apply to your life and careers?
Live uncomfortably?
Live uncomfortably.
I would say, I think that's a always be pushing yourself mm-hmm. to kind of explore new things and look for new opportunities. Take it that way.
Fair answer.
Yeah.
I would say have integrity. Mm-hmm. Because it's not always cool. and when people aren't looking, you've still got to do the right thing. And if you're going to be a good business, people will notice that
mm-hmm.
as a person or a business or whatever.
Fantastic. Jen, Colin, it's been great talking to both of you.
You're
appreciate
awesome.
You joining us and talking more about Seventh Son.
Thank you.
Yeah, thanks so much for having us.
Yeah, and if you want to learn more about Seventh Son, you can go to... Who's got an answer?
SeventhSonBrewing.com.
Is that with the number seven or the word
nope,
seven?
All spelled out.
SeventhSonBrewing.com.
SeventhSonBrewing.com.
Yes.
Yeah. All right. And Conquerors, thanks so much for tuning in. If you enjoyed that interview and you want to hear more just like it, go ahead and hit that subscribe button on whatever podcast app you are listening on. It'll make sure you never miss a release from us. Thanks so much for all your support. We'll talk to you next week.